Why did you decide to stand?
For the same reason I got into politics. I want to help people. Basically, I've been in politics 3 years now. Joined in 2015, stood in 2 local elections. When it came to this time round, there was no UKIP candidate. So I put my own name forward because I wanted a choice on the ballot. But mostly because I want to help local people and local services, which I see going further and further down all the time.
Do you consider yourself to be local?
Yeah. See, I was born in Holmwood, spent some of my childhood in Scarborough, spent 6 years living in Thornbury and another 6 years living in Ravenscliffe. So very local.
What do you think is the most important issue facing the constituency?
Poverty. The standard of living and job opportunities are constantly not up to standard. What work is available is generally on 0-hour contracts and not guaranteed, and the levels of poverty across the district with a lot of people on benefits and then not a lot for the youth to do and such like that is a problem, and a huge one at that needs dealing with properly.
What do you consider to be the most important policy?
The most important policy for me is the anti-austerity front. We can't go on anymore with the level of cuts that has happened across, not just in Bradford East, but across the country. The cuts are targeting services, such as the NHS, police force, community services in particular. Earlier I found out the Rockwell Centre on Thorpe Edge is in trouble and barely surviving. This austerity just needs to stop. When you've got people that are having to choose between eating and heating their home, it is not acceptable in a modern country.
Why do you think you'd be the best person to represent the constituency?
For me, I think I'm the best person because of how well I know the constituency. I've lived in 2 different, very different areas of the constituency. I understand where the areas around Ravenscliffe, Thorpe Edge, Green Gates, where you've got large council areas that are in trouble. I also understand the struggles of trying to bring communities together from living in between Thornbury and, not sure if it's the right name for it, but affectionately around there they know it as the Bronx, between LePage Street and Wellands Terrace. So community cohesion is a big one that needs working on. But obviously, with me living between those areas, I understand the different problems facing different areas of the constituency.
UKIP leader Paul Nuttall wanted to prevent Islamic Sharia law becoming a, and I quote, a parallel legal system in this country. There is no Sharia law in this country. Are you just scaremongering?
No, absolutely not. The only law that should be present in this country is obviously British law. There are Sharia councils in this country, but that is not Sharia law. They're voluntary services that people can go to and they can get advice, that sort of thing, but they have no power to pass actual judgments in this country. I think where Paul Nuttall's coming from is he wants to make sure there's laws in place that ensure that they never have the power to make legal judgments. I think that's more to protect women's rights and stuff like that, because it's known in some Islamic countries that the Sharia councils and Sharia courts can have a negative effect on women's rights.
He's also said that the Beth Din, the Jewish rabbinical courts, would not be affected by this because they had been established for centuries and the Orthodox Jewish population was falling. Is this not double standards? Explain how this is different and why is the falling Jewish population relevant to a legal standard?
As far as I'm concerned, any law brought in that would ensure that British law remains superior would cover all religions. I don't think it'd be right to have one law covering one area and another law covering another area. As far as the drop in Jewish population goes, I think that's more down to over the last 70 years you've had the setup of Israel, which has been set up, so a lot of the Jewish population moved out there. I'm not actually too up with the Jewish community because I had a great deal of interaction with them myself. But as far as I'm concerned, when it comes back to actual law, any law that come in would not be able to target just one group. It would have to target all groups.
So you would disagree with Paul Nuttall?
I would disagree that it should only target Sharia.
So you would disagree with Paul Nuttall, your leader?
I would say to a point I am. I would say, yes, Target, to say the British law should be superior, but I would say not Dutch Target, one religious group, Target, across the board.
Paul Nuttall has also said it cannot be right that we have court or councils in this country where the word of a woman is only worth half that of a man. There is no place in a liberal, democratic, functioning Western democracy. Do you agree that women should be treated the same as men and afforded the same opportunities?
As far as I'm concerned, everyone should be treated equal. Okay. There is absolutely no case where I see that it is acceptable that anyone is treated less than the person next to them. Everyone in this country should have the same opportunities and same rights.
So why are you only standing 10% women in candidates in the election?
I was not involved in candidate selection at all, so I couldn't answer that.
Moving on to Brexit, former UKIP leader Nigel Farage has warned that Britain could walk away from talks as a result of Jean-Claude Juncker's behaviour and how he perceives him treating Britain. But surely isn't that what you want, to walk away from those talks anyway? Because a hard Brexit would effectively mean that there is no deal anyway.
No, not at all. If a good deal for both can be established, then it should be established. I think what he's talking about is that if the demands continue for the large bill in the region of, I think it's €93 billion, then Britain should not pay that bill. That would be a bad deal for Britain. We want a deal that allows us to control our own borders with the Australian-style point system, allows Britain to go out in the world and negotiate free trade deals. Being in the EU Single Market and Customs Union does not allow us to do that. But what we can do is establish a bilateral free trade agreement with the EU that allows tariff-free trade access. The other countries around the world do have this access to the single market. There's no reason why an independent UK can't have the same thing.
Nigel Farage has also said without UKIP in the Commons, there will be no Brexit. But it's already happened. Article 50 has been triggered. We are already on that road out. And it has happened without UKIP being in Parliament. So why do we need UKIP to be in Parliament at all?
To hold the Conservatives' feet to fight to make sure they actually follow through with what they've said they're going to follow through on. At the minute, there's already been backsliding on the European Court of Human Rights and on the free movement, with the possibility that that might stay in place for longer than it takes to leave. Whereas, as far as UKIP is concerned, UKIP agrees that there may be a case for a transitional period, but that transitional period must have an end date. It cannot be an ongoing transitional period. There has to be a date established where it says, that's it, we are out of the EU, and we are able to move on and go forward as a country.
You as a party are opposed to the free movement of people.
Yes.
So Angela Merkel has said, and I quote, if the British government says that free movement of people is no longer valid, that will have its price in relations with Britain. She added, for example, if you say only 100,000 or 200,000 EU citizens allowed in the country, we would have to think about what obstacles we create from the European side to compensate for that. So is your stance on Brexit not going to cause more difficulties in obtaining a settlement that will benefit the country?
No, I don't believe it will. When it comes to actual trade, we are Germany's largest exporter of cars, for instance. We've got cheese, wines from the continent. We're not exactly a small trading partner. We are a huge part of the European Union's economic forecast. For them to refuse a deal with us based on the fact that we want to control our own borders would do as much damage to them as it would to us. So I believe that that is negotiable to get around.
But in effect, we import more from the EU than we export. As a proportion of the EU's exports, we're actually very, very small. It would harm us, in effect, a lot more than it would harm the EU.
Possibly, but I think if we slapped a 10% tariff on our German cars, the car industry over there would have something to say about it.
Would surely slap a 10% back on our imports. We would then be a net loser in that.
As far as I'm concerned, that I cannot see the European Union refusing a bilateral free trade agreement with the UK if it manages to protect their own economy. If any deal where it's going to damage their economy, they're not going to agree to it. If we're benefiting their economy by saying you can still trade your products to us for free and vice versa, I cannot see them refusing that deal. I think the main difficulties around negotiation is actually going to come from this very large Brexit bill, which I don't know where they're plucking this figure out from, but it's extortionate. £93 billion is unacceptable, and I cannot see the UK government agreeing to pay that.